the other show. Hello and welcome back to the one where I met your mother, a podcast about Friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, how are you?
Well, it's we're recording on St. Patrick's Day, which doesn't really mean anything to us. Although you're Irish.
I am of Irish descent. I mean, I've never been to Ireland or anything like that. There are a lot of those like Irish Americans who are way too like into their Irish heritage.
And yeah, it's a little cringe.
But I definitely am. Even though my last name is German, more than half of my ancestors or whatever come from Ireland. So I'm mostly of Irish descent. I don't care about St. Patrick's Day.
I did go to Ireland, and it was beautiful and very fun.
Yeah. I was just reading about how, like, so I don't know if we have any Irish listeners. That'd be great if we did. I know we have UK listeners. I don't know if we have any Irish listeners. Let us know how you feel about St. Patrick's Day, or St. Patrick's Day as it's celebrated in the US, which is completely different. Like, it's not a big deal in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's just an excuse to drink green beer.
But I mean, at a certain point, it was like a pride thing when, like, Irish, you know, the Irish, this is one of the things you always want to dance around. Is like,
when white people are prideful?
But when white people say, like, hey, my ancestors were, like, what sort of
immigrants as well?
Not immigrants, but, like, were, I mean, they were, but, like, discriminated against. Because, Irish people were not treated that well when they first came to America en masse. But I don't want to sound like I'm saying, like, yeah, I understand the struggles of the, like I don't, like,
yeah.
I didn't have any of that. Yeah. But I think that's where St. Patrick's Day came from, as a kind of, like, pride from a group that was discriminated against. But I was reading that, again, I would love the Irish listeners, if we have any Irish friends and mothers, to weigh in on this. I was just this morning reading about how corned beef and cabbage, which is, like, the go-to in America when celebrating St. Patrick's Day, corned beef and cabbage is, like, the go-to meal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really an Irish thing. It really came from Irish immigrants and Jewish immigrants living cheek by jowl in New York City 120 something years ago, and the Irish couldn't get, like, the actual, like, meat that they would have eaten there, so they ate corned beef, which they got from their Jewish neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two immigrant groups.
It's like us.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. Exactly. But this is not a television show about...
Television show.
Television show. Okay, yeah. Well, you and I both tied one on last night, we're feeling a little bit...
We can't, we've made fun of ourselves before, but, like, we can't drink like we used to, and we shouldn't. And I think I need to, like, if we go wine tasting, which is what we did yesterday, maybe, like, three tastings max.
Yeah. That's what we did. And then after the third tasting, that was when we were like,
let's do karaoke
at a wine bar, and then let's go, like, to a beer garden, sausage garden.
I actually did stop drinking after the third tasting, but the first tasting, it was...
That's right.
It was not a tasting. It was, like, full pours, basically.
Yeah, so tasting would be, like, 5 to 6 things taste that maybe add up to a glass of wine, whereas we had, like, 5 or 6 glasses of wine, I think.
I don't think it was quite, but it was probably, like, 3 glasses of wine at the first place.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's why I keep messing stuff up. So, what was I going to say? This is not a podcast about American immigrant traditions. This is a podcast about the television shows Friends and How I Met Your Mother.
However,
this week it's not about How I Met Your Mother at all, because we don't have a... We're in season 6, episode 25, and there is no season 6, episode 25 of How I Met Your Mother, so we're just doing Friends, but hang on, there'll be a bonus for you at the end.
Yeah.
So this will probably be a shorter episode, because we obviously a lot of our segments we can't do.
Yeah.
We're just going to jump right in then to my recap of season 6, episode 25 of Friends, the one with the proposal part 2.
Yeah.
Why are we always recording when the ice cream truck's outside?
Yeah, it's just the time of day.
It's just our timing, yeah. Let's see. So we start exactly where we left off, which makes sense because when these episodes aired, these two aired as one long episode.
Yeah.
On the same night. So right where we left off, Richard has just told Monica that he's still in love with her, and Monica kind of is like very flustered by it, especially when Richard asks the question, like, is Chandler able to offer you everything that I'm offering? Because Richard is saying, I will marry you, which that wasn't the problem. The problem 3 years ago when they broke up was that Richard didn't want more kids. Richard has kids from his previous marriage. He doesn't want more kids. And Monica very much wants kids. Yeah. But he said over the 3 years he's come to regret losing her so much that he's like, let's do it. Let's have kids or whatever.
I want to marry you. I want to have kids with you.
Yeah. So Monica's very flustered. Meanwhile, at the perk, Rachel and Phoebe are talking about how happy they are for Monica that she's getting engaged, even though she doesn't know it yet. But how they're also kind of jealous that she's getting engaged, which I don't like. Phoebe has never seemed like that type.
No, although remember when they like were trying on wedding dresses, she was getting into it.
That's right. That's right.
So I think certain parts of it she likes.
Yeah. Then Joey shows up dressed as a captain because he has a boat.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of the end of that scene. At lunch, Chandler and Monica are having an. I know you always point out like too much food. They have like an enormous amount of pizza.
Yeah.
Because they're each eating like I feel like a New York slice is meant to be like one, maybe two slices of a meal. But they're each eating a slice and they have like a whole. There's like so much pizza and I'm like, there's no way Monica Geller eats like that.
No way.
So they're eating so much pizza.
Here's what I'm thinking in my head. Maybe like the chef knows Monica. You know how like people in the food industry know each other, and they probably just like sent her over like a bunch of pizza.
I think they're on their. Yeah, I think. Maybe Chandler's on his work break from lunch, and he's gonna bring the extra pizza back to the
office.
Set up, and then there's a, a little like email that goes out like, "Hey, pizza in the break room." God, I don't talk about where I work on this podcast, but I work for a place that has offices all over the world. And there is a corporate Slack channel that is just dedicated to when there is free food in a break room. Very funny to be like, to like check it and be like, oh, I guess there's brownies in Seattle right now.
That would be so like tantalizing and upsetting.
Yeah. I picked that because that actually was a recent example, brownies in Seattle, but they're literally all over the world. So Chandler's still doing the stupid thing of like acting like he's anti-marriage. He's like, the point, as we talked about last week, is he's trying to throw Monica off the scent of his plan to propose, but he's way overcorrecting.
Yes.
And driving her away. Literally, she storms off. Chandler references The Rules, which was that like book from around this time.
Yeah.
About like how to land a husband. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what it was about?
Yep.
I never read it. I'm assuming you did.
Well, it worked.
She storms off. Still at the perk. Rachel was talking about having like the idea of having a backup. Like, hey, if we're still single and we're whatever, we'll get married. Friends and mothers. Did you ever have
a backup? I had one of these with my friend James.
I did too. Yeah, my main like high school girlfriend. After we broke up. And some time had passed. We became friends again, kind of, because coincidentally, we broke up in St. Louis when I was still in high school. But then coincidentally, we both ended up moving to Chicago, which is like, now I say coincidentally, but like a lot of St. Louisans moved to Chicago at some point. So we sort of like became friends again in Chicago. And yeah, we did have a pact like this. And you had one with your friend James. That's fun. So Rachel wants one, and Phoebe says, oh yeah, I have a backup. Joey's my backup. Meanwhile, at Joey's apartment, he's learning how to tie knots because he's a sailor.
Yeah.
Monica comes over because she's looking for Rachel. But Joey kind of talks to her, and at first is like, Chandler doesn't want to get married. He believes it. He's,
We'll get to that later.
Okay. But then Monica lets slip what happened between Richard and Joey immediately starts trying to like do damage control and turn this back around.
Yeah.
Rachel goes over to Ross's place to make a backup pact, you mm-hmm. know, backup marriage pact, and it turns out Ross has also made a pact with Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
So then Joey tells Chandler. Joey waits until Chandler comes home, and Joey tells Chandler about what happened with Richard. Joey makes a reference to how he can't run in his boat shoes; they keep flying off.
Yeah,
it's funny because I'm wearing boat shoes right now.
Boat shoes. Yeah,
I used to have multiple pairs, but I, you know, they say that Sperry, which is what these are, the brand,
mm-hmm.
is the go-to for boat shoes, and it's true. Like every other pair, even though I've had like name brand pairs like Tommy Hilfiger boat shoes or whatever, every other pair has fallen apart. I've had these for going on 15 years and they're great. Sperry is not a sponsor, could be if they wanted to, but Sperry is the way to go for boat shoes. Topsiders.
They look a little rough.
Well, they have a patina.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. You want to get me some new Sperry's? I'll take it.
Oh, okay. I do not.
Well, I mean, Friends and Mothers.
Also, I don't buy leather.
There's a that's right. Friends and Mothers is you can find the PO box, the Battleship Retention website.
Yeah.
But I also want to know, Friends and Mothers, do you have a backup pact?
Yes.
That's very important.
It's interesting the fact that we both did.
Yeah.
I'm sure more people do.
Yeah.
I wonder if James remembers that. Hopefully. I mean, if things don't work out for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're both past 40, which is usually the cutoff.
Yeah. No, he's definitely tied down as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about... We lost touch, my backup pack. So even if... Yeah. But I made it. What was I going to say? Backup pact. Sorry, I'm making notes about calls to action. Okay, so... Chandler runs off to try and find Monica, but Monica has gone over to Richard's, where he's hanging out on his leather couch and smoking a cigar. This is definitely not Natalie's type of guy. Leather couch, cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't truck with smokers, right?
I used to.
Yeah, no, I'm joking about the fact that up until January 1st, I was a cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
Have not had a cigarette since December 31st.
Yeah, good job.
He makes her a scotch, which we're just learning at the end of season 6. Like, her drink is scotch on the rocks with a twist.
But I think it's, like, with him.
But Chandler recognizes it, too, when he comes. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
That's true.
But
that's
Chandler
true.
Also recognizes that's true. So I guess Monica's a scotch drinker?
Yeah, she never drinks it at home.
No, yeah. Yeah, but that's, like... She doesn't strike me as a scotch drinker.
Yeah.
Like, by maybe Phoebe, although I think Phoebe, like, is probably more of a hallucinogen person.
Yeah.
But, like, Robin, we won't be talking about How I Met Your Mother this week, but Robin drinks bourbon, but I would buy Robin drinking scotch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd buy Monica. Monica seems like a wine person.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a sweet wine person.
Well, she's got to, I mean, as a chef, she has to have a good palate.
She has a good palate, yeah.
Good taste. Okay. Da, 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 where was I? Ross and Joey come back to the pert to confront Phoebe about their backup packs. This is all happening in the same day.
Yeah.
So that means Rachel went to Ross's and then went back to the perk. Oh yeah, she comes back with them.
Yeah.
So Phoebe's just been at the perk all day.
Yeah.
Just chilling. So they get into a big argument. So eventually Rachel decides they're going to pick... They each get one of the fellas as a backup, but they're going to pick at random. And because they can't decide whose, but then Phoebe picks Ross and Rachel picks Joey, and then they immediately decide to switch.
They trade, yeah.
So yeah, it goes the way it was going to go. Although I still think... I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself. Because I still think Rachel is going to move in with Joey full time. This is still technically temporary, but I feel like she's going to move in with Joey full time. And I wonder, just because, like, as shows go on, the writers get bored and start coming up with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put it past either them starting a relationship or at least, like, getting drunk and hooking up or something. Mm-hmm. I would not put that past. But at this point, Rachel is not interested in Joey. She's still, for some reason, interested in Ross.
Yeah.
Where was I? They pick it random and they switch. Okay. Over Richard's, Monica's going off about Chandler, but also like being hard on Richard on how like this is unfair. You know, couldn't have done this 3 years ago.
Getting over him was the hardest thing she's ever had to do.
Yeah. And she, because she's a good person, even though she's very upset with Chandler right now, she understands what the boundaries are and the rules that are set for them, and so she excuses herself to figure things out without giving in. Then Richard's smoking again when Chandler shows up looking for Monica. He just missed her, I guess. I wrote Ross, but Chandler then tells Richard he was going to propose, shows him the ring, and Richard tells Chandler to go get her, like, go for it. There's, I don't know if it's probably not any funniest moments, but Chandler's like, you're a good guy, and he's like, I know, it sucks.
Yeah.
I like that. So Chandler comes home and Joey's in the hallway, but he's like, she left. She went to her apartment. When she went to her parents, she doesn't want you to call her.
She had a big duffel bag.
Yeah, she left with a bag. She doesn't want you to call
her. She's really upset.
So Chandler's upset. He goes in, but it turns out she didn't go to her parents. Instead, she spent 3 hours lighting candles. She's standing in the apartment with candles everywhere.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're writing. Okay. Even though we don't normally do that.
I know. But you saw my eyes like light up.
I thought it too. Yeah. We'll get to it in a minute.
Savvy listeners might.
No, we haven't even said. Yeah. Well, I guess it's probably in the show description. Okay. No one knows what we're talking about.
Jackson will know.
Yeah. So then Monica tries to propose to Chandler, but she keeps crying, and then she's like, there's a reason girls don't do this. I didn't like that. It was stupid.
Yeah.
But then Chandler keeps crying when he does it, which is cute. But eventually he proposes, and she says yes. And that's the end of the episode, but Ross comes in to celebrate, and then there's a tag at the end where they're dancing to Eric Clapton, You Look Wonderful Tonight, in the apartment full of flames.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
I just wanted to say that Joey is... I always like to point out when Joey is... when Joey's a good friend.
Yeah.
Joey's a good friend and a good actor.
Yeah.
When he sold the story about Monica leaving.
Yep.
I like that.
All right, funniest moments. When Rachel tells Phoebe that she can't have both Ross and Joey as a backup, she's like weighing pros and cons. She's like, Ross is a good father, but Joey has a boat. This is hard.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah.
I think it was Chandler who says to Joey, I don't know, but Tennille was looking for you.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's Rachel.
Oh, okay.
It's either Rachel or Phoebe because it's at the perk.
Okay.
I think it's Rachel who says Tennille was looking for you to Joey. When Chandler's yelling at Richard and he's talking about his plan to throw Monica off the scent, and he says it was working until you showed up, you big tree.
Yeah. And then we talked about this before, but when Joey says to Monica, Chandler is a complex fellow, one unlikely to take a wife. and he says it multiple times. And then after the proposal, she goes, I knew you were likely to take a wife.
Yeah. And he just, like, looks kind of perplexed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was funny because of what happened. So you've talked about, especially when you're talking about How I Met Your Mother, you're making notes while you're watching. And I'm making notes while I'm watching Friends a lot. So sometimes we both miss things. So when Richard tells Chandler to go get her, and he runs out the door, and I look up for my notes, and I said, because he had taken out the ring and sat on the couch, and I said, did he grab the ring? And you were like, I don't think so. And
then on the couch.
He comes right back in. Yeah. And Richard's already holding the ring and then he runs back out. Yeah. That was funny.
It was funny.
That's my last one because my other one was I knew you were likely to take a wife.
So after the proposal, the friends are like waiting outside and you hear their muffled voices. Can we come in yet? And they're all like hugging them and excited for them. And then Rachel's like, oh no, Ross isn't here. And then she's like, he's done this like 3 times. He knows what it's about. Even though like that's your sister and your best friend. Like you should be there.
Yeah. But the joke's about Ross getting married.
Yeah.
I still think with Chandler, was it like last week or I think it was just last week saying, I don't know, if you're not careful, you might not end up getting married this year at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that should have gone under the umbrella, but it is what it is. And then... I thought it was funny, like, Phoebe's delivery of, like, yeah, I locked him in years ago about Ross, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What else did I have? Oh, the boat shoes keep flying off.
Yeah.
Try to stop them, but the boat shoes keep flying off. And then in the props department, no, I'm sorry, Mazel to the Magna, I think it was a lawnmower.
Okay.
Which I thought was strange. None of them have lawns.
No.
Anyway.
All right. Friends but make it fashion. I liked Captain Joey. I know it was supposed to look silly, but I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And then, did you have any more?
Nope.
For me? What do we think of Monica's white denim jacket?
I think it's fine.
I liked it. It feels of the era, but in a way that maybe would work today. You think you'd get away with a white denim jacket today?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. If styled correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything under the umbrella. What do you have?
When, I don't know, just kind of like dumb, like, gay jokes. When Richard said about Chandler, if you say he's straight, I'll believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
Joey and Phoebe are one true pairing.
Yeah, yeah, yes, that's true.
Nipples, Rachel's nipples. She shows up at Ross's door and says, "Hey," and she has nipples.
I think that was. You think that was part of her case that she intentionally like.
I don't think it was, but it was definitely a perk. Pun intended. Also, we've talked about it before, but they treat their surroundings as their living room, so they're all screaming at each other in Central Perk.
Yeah.
They're all shouting about like having a backup and like fighting about it. Everyone else is like working or having conversations. They just have no regard.
Yeah. At least when they got into a shouting, when Chandler and Monica got into a shouting match at the pizza place, Chandler like addressed the people after she stormed out. He was like, "Don't worry, I have a plan."
Yeah.
The pizza did look good. I feel like often the pizza on this show doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I did kind of want some of that pizza.
And Chandler, and you know how they like fake eat just because they have to like film scenes over and over again? Yeah. Chandler was actually taking chomps of the crust.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't watch most of the Oscars. You did watch most of it, right? Mm-hmm. But I did watch online the In Memoriam. Or did I watch it with you?
We watched
the In Memoriam together. Yeah, you had a DVR'd. Yeah, and Matthew Perry made the In Memoriam.
Yes, he did.
Sometimes I feel like it's like, yeah, Matthew Perry definitely made movies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a TV actor, and it feels like the Oscars, like, stealing the Emmys thunder. Like, no, let the Emmys have Matthew Perry.
Did the Emmys do? I'm sure they did.
They lost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, he...
He was in movies, for sure. I think you could claim him.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, The Whole Nine Yards, not great, but was a hit. Enough so that they made a sequel, which I never saw, The Whole 10 Yards. I saw Fools Rush In with him
and
Selma Hayek.
Yeah. I get mixed up with that and Spanglish.
I know like that's 10 years apart.
I know
almost.
That's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, yeah. And more of a Spanglish is more like of a dramedy. It's more in the like serious Sandler mode.
Okay.
It has some comedy in it, but it's not like this Adam Sandler like shibbity doo type of comedy. It's more of a dramedy.
Okay.
Whereas Fools Rush In is just a comedy.
Rom-com.
Which I remember liking. Because the premise is that, like, they get married after, like, one date or something, and they don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
And somehow he's, like, super Catholic, and there's, like...
Oh, he has to meet the family.
Crucifixes all over the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing I remember that this probably... It made me laugh so hard at the time, but is probably, like, very inappropriate now. The time that he gets drunk, you know, and he comes home, and he opens the door, and he says, "Lucy, you got some explaining to do." I don't think that holds up.
But, no.
But I remember Fools Rush In being funny. I'm trying to think what other movies Matthew Perry was in.
Well, now I have to look it up.
All right. Well, so I think what we'll do now while you're looking that up, obviously there are no similarities to do, but we'll put a pin in that letter later. There are no similarities to do because we don't have a How I Met Your Mother. There's no playing favorites to do because we don't have a How I Met Your Mother. We do have... So we're not going to do headlines, or sorry, we're not, not headlines. We're not going to do how are we doing, because there's no How I Met Your Mother, and also this Friends episode, as mentioned, aired on the same night as last week's episode, so it would be the same how are we doing.
Okay. He was in a few, like quite a few.
Okay.
But a few bigger ones. He was in The Kid with Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Which is another like Friends, so they knew each other from...
Yeah. I remember that movie. I saw it in the theater, but I don't remember him in it.
Serving Sarah?
Yeah, I never saw it. With Elizabeth Hurley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Three to Tango.
I don't even know what that is.
You remember this cover, I'm sure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Maybe they're in a threesome?
Maybe.
She's Out of Control with Ted... Danza? Tony Danza.
Don't know that.
Parallel Lives?
Don't remember that one. Yeah.
That actually looks good. Jimmy Reardon. You might remember this with River Phoenix.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Catching Up on Our Correspondence, and then we're going to do Challenge Accepted. Right?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about our bonus content, and then we'll have a little similarities thing at the end of that, I think.
Okay. We don't have to talk it. It's just...
No. So we have correspondence to catch up on.
Okay.
Now, the bad news is we only one friend and mother wrote us this week. The good news is he wrote us so much.
All right.
So Andy says, all right, David.
Is this a new friend and mother?
No, Andy has definitely written to us before, but it's been a while, as you'll hear.
Okay.
Andy says, all right, David. I mostly took a break from podcasts to finish my PhD. Now that I'm done, congratulations, Andy, on your PhD.
Congrats.
And I've caught up on a ton of audiobooks. I've got 70-ish episodes of The One Where I Met Your Mother to go. You specifically asked for listener responses, even if they are untimely or years late.
Yeah.
So I'll give you correspondence with zero context as to what was going on. So this will be fun. He's going to answer things that we probably
have won't remember.
Yeah, so he says, this is to me. He says, you don't have a goddamn accent. I can't even tell how your pronunciation of college is weird, and I'm from North Carolina.
Wow. Okay. Shots fired at Natalie.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, I think you forgot to talk about how big of a deal The Naked Man was when it aired. You remember the Naked Man episode of How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
It was a huge deal. It was not only the height of comedy, but my group of friends started doing it to each other.
Oh, no.
A bunch of us had hangout living rooms a la Friends, so even people who didn't live there were always home. That sounds fun.
I've always wanted that, yeah.
It started with just being in boxers and evolved to Speedos and banana hammocks through the traditional prank escalation logic, and it did end with full nudity. You just get home and goddamn Matt or someone was fully naked on your couch.
Goddamn Matt.
It was always... all for shock value, yeah. It was all for shock value, and we still to this day joke about it. It all came to a head when one member of the all-male group of Friends brought a date home, and then he says... I had no idea.
Uh-oh.
So, was Andy the naked man, or was Andy... Andy was the naked man in this.
Andy was the naked man.
So he had no idea. Everyone was embarrassed. It's funny the type of cringe humor you find funny in your late teens. This joke war happened only after the Naked Man episode aired. So yeah, it hit cultural consciousness, at least the consciousness of dumb boys. And he says, apologies for the long message on that one. He says... The gender neutral term for nephews and nieces is nibbling.
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 No, I think that's true.
If you do rewatch King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, great doc, by the way, you should read about Billy Mitchell's cheating scandal. He didn't do his runs legit, and it's been a big thing in the gaming world.
Hmm.
I knew Billy Mitchell was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Relapsing with an ex is a horrible idea, but the path of least resistance, so to speak, so it's expected, especially if you live together still. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yep.
And then, okay, I don't know about this. He says, no one has a pillow fort kink. They are way too hot and stifling for intimacy, and they fall down too easily. Don't ask how I know. Sounds like you want us to know how you know
it. Yeah.
This is a little bragging.
Yeah.
Right? About his pillow fort conquests.
I think it sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. Soul Sister by Train is indeed a crime to music. Thank you for making me feel seen. Yeah, I don't remember talking about that, but that is literally one of my least favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, He says, my wife and I are same siders when it comes to booths for a handful of specific restaurants where the tables are poorly shaped, and if we sat opposite each other, it's too far apart.
Okay.
Makes talking more awkward unless you are with other people.
Okay, that makes sense.
I guess, yeah. He says, oh, so he was on my side musically, but now he's not on my side. He says, U2, Arcade Fire, and Coldplay are all equally overrated. So I guess he kind of agrees with me that U2, Arcade Fire, and Coldplay all belong in the same spectrum.
Yeah.
But he thinks they're all overrated, which I think is, I mean...
I think that's accurate, yeah.
It's, I don't know. Like, those first three U2 albums, like people, I think people forget. People think of U2 as being the, like, stadium anthem rock band. But, like, the early, like, post-punk band that was U2 is, like, unfuckwithable.
Okay.
What am I doing 4 weeks from today? Because we asked, what are you doing 4 weeks from today at some point? Going a Golden Mile, World's End style, 12 pubs, 12 beers, 12 hours pub crawl with friends.
Oof.
That sounds fun.
That sounds really fun. But
it doesn't need to be 12 hours, though.
But it's part of the challenge.
I feel like you could do it in 6 hours.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, if you're drinking a beer an hour, you're not even going to get that drunk because you're processing it. I'm assuming you're eating, you're drinking water. Like, if I drank 12 beers in 12 hours, I couldn't be drunk.
I couldn't do it.
All right. He says, I have had a buzz ball. That's those little, like, gas station, like, yeah. Okay. Specifically a strawberry rum job. One of the worst things I ever put in my mouth, and I've had Zima.
I think Zima's refreshing.
I've never had one. I have gotten out of a ticket, speeding ticket, 100% cis white male privilege. Okay. He says, bro, dirty dishes sitting in the sink is fine. No, it's not. You want ants? That's how you get ants. We leave our breakfast, etc., until nighttime. Yeah, sometimes even ... until the next evening. If I come into your house and there are old dishes in the sink, I'm playing it cool, but I feel like there's bugs on my skin. That's what I feel like. It's gross.
Yeah, overnight you're gonna get cockroaches.
Yeah. I do the I always say the ants thing because it's a reference, but I don't know if you know the reference. Friends and mothers, do you know what I'm referencing when I say, do you want ants? That's how you get ants? I don't know.
What is it?
It's Archer. It's the
very
first episode of Archer, and it's Jessica from Arrested Development, who passed away a year or two ago.
Jessica.
Oh my God, I can't remember. Anyway, she plays...
I keep wanting to say Tandy. I know it's not Tandy.
Yeah.
Jessica Walters?
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, Walter. I think that's right.
Walter?
Anyway, yeah, she plays Archer's mom, and she's also the head of the spy agency.
Walter.
Okay. And there's, like... I think, like, Archer brought donuts, and then, like, someone knocked the donuts out of his hands, and there are just donuts on the floor, and she's like, you want ants? Because that's how you get ants. Mm-hmm. Archer's so good. I might do, like, a full...
Rewatch?
Series rewatch of Archer. Okay. Last one, Andy. Now, I guess I don't normally say the friends and mother's last names, but it applies here. So his name is Andy Bowman. And he says, and I don't know what he's referring to here in terms of calls to action. I don't remember this at all. But he says he did the nickname A-Bo for a long time. Like J-Lo, you know, A-Bo. Since it's the first initial, first name, first syllable, last name thing. Kept it up until we found out from an Australian that it's a slur for Aboriginal.
Ooh.
So I'm glad you stopped doing it. And now I'm realizing that I'm sorry that I said it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's the end.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah. Thank you for catching up. And see, so like literally catch up on your correspondence. If you like, if you listen to an episode from years ago and we have a call to action, just go ahead and send it to us like Andy did without context. I don't care.
Yeah.
So on our next segment, which is normally our final segment, but not this time, our next segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on each episode, armed only with knowledge of the episode title. As far as how we did last week, you didn't have one, but I guess that Joey sold his boat. He doesn't. He still has the boat by the end of the episode. But I still win, and we already discussed that last week. You're going to donate the $500 to our friend and my Battleship Retention co-host Tyler's GoFundMe, which if you guys want to know, battleshippretension.com, pinned to the top of the homepage, there's a GoFundMe. You can find out what awful stuff Tyler has been through over the last over a year and a half now, and know there's no really any light, not really any light on the horizon right now. It's going to keep on going like this. Yeah. You can find a whole recap of what happened, as well as a plan for the money for the GoFundMe, so you know what you're donating to. So that's that. I'm going to look up the season 7 premieres titles so we can make our next guesses, but I'm going to need you to vamp for a second while I do that.
Avocado Ranch Salad Kit. Golden Roses. Jumbo Mixed Bouquet. Shishito Peppers.
Okay. Season 7, Episode 1 of Friends is called The One with Monica's Thunder. The One with Monica's Thunder. Okay. I'm going to guess someone steals her thunder. Okay. That's a saying, right? Mm-hmm. Stole my thunder. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean? Like, to steal someone's thunder is to, like, show up and do, like, the thing they're known for before they can.
Yeah, or take the spotlight off of them.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to guess... Who would steal Monica's thunder? Is it going to be about the engagement? Okay. Over the summer, which is how long it will be between, you know, seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe had a whirlwind romance and a quickie engagement. So I'm going to say we start season 7 with Phoebe is engaged to someone we've never heard of or met before.
Okay.
That's my guess. Season 7, Episode 1 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Best Man.
Ooh. Okay. The Best Man. So, I mean, the obvious place my mind goes is Barney choosing a best man for his wedding.
Right.
And it's obviously going to be Ted.
Because we've already seen the flash forward. Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's Marshall and Ted competing various friendship challenges.
Marshall and Ted
vying
for the title of Barney's best man.
And you know Barney is going to put them through a series of ridiculous challenges.
Yeah. I'm just going to put Marshall and Ted.
Okay.
Compete for the title of Barney's best man.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So normally that would be the end of the episode. But because we didn't have a How I Met Your Mother this week, that means we're going to talk Mystery Diners. Yep. Mystery Diners bonus for the end of the episode. Now, I should say, I said we only had one bit of correspondence. We actually did have a second bit of correspondence from Jackson. Our longtime friend and mother, Jackson, whom we have turned into a Mystery Diners addict. And they said they suggested we do season 2, episode 1 because their friend is on the episode. Yeah. So that was fully our intention.
Yes.
Except for some reason, Discovery Plus has taken down the first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So it starts with season 3 now. So I'm sorry we weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
Instead, we did season 5. I forgot to look it up. Season episode 5, episode 7, 13? I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it was episode 7. It's called A Greek Tragedy.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I don't. We don't need to do a full recap or anything. I don't know. We can just go straight to like. We can basically just cut out the recap and do our straight observations. But the, I guess the basic sum up is that it's at a Greek restaurant, and the owner, whose name is Nader or mm-hmm. Nader, depending on who you're talking to, they seem to pronounce it differently.
Yeah.
Throughout the episode, is concerned because ever since he's took a step back from running the day to day of the restaurant, food costs are up. Or food.
Sales are down.
Food and alcohol. Mm-hmm.
And there's broken glass.
There's a lot of broken dishes that need to be replaced. It's costing him money every day.
Yeah, he wants to find out who.
Yeah. So the problem is Charles shows up with
his piece of ass du jour, Brianna.
I know you have to say that. I can't say that, but yeah, Brianna is the POAD, and Nader starts the. Consultation by offering some saganaki, which is the cheese they let on fire.
Yeah. Which is delicious.
It is great. This is going back 12 years almost.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
And I tried to find the restaurant, but trying to find a single Greek restaurant in Chicago is a real like needle in a haystack type thing. There's so many Greek restaurants there. But it was on Halstead, I remember. We went to a Greek
close
restaurant.
Close to theaters, right? Because we walked to a theater?
Yeah, but it was like close to Boys Town. Because okay. That's what Halstead is. Maybe just south of that. Anyway, and yeah, we've had plenty of Greek food in our lives, but that meal really stands out, especially the saganaki there really stands out. And that's the flaming Greek cheese. And he offers some to... Nader offers some to Charles and Brianna right up front. And Charles... very convincingly gets the opa wrong. He says upa.
Yeah.
Come on.
But he also says, that looks fantastic. Also in the most convincing way.
Yeah.
With dead eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so awkward.
Yeah.
What is there anything else you want to... So, I guess it turns out that... the manager, Steven, I think, is doing saganakis with upwards of 3 shots of vodka or whatever it is.
So it's not only like wasting liquor, but it's also a fire hazard.
Yeah, it's a fire hazard. And then Travis, the busboy, is sticking flyers for a band called Skin Tags, which is a gross name for a band.
Disgusting.
That's something you don't want to open up your... dinner and find Skin Tags.
Oh god.
Like, he's sticking flyers into the takeout things. What else is happening? This restaurant, which is called My Greek and Italian Restaurant, Tacoma, Washington. Go patronize them. It looks good. They used to do the traditional like smashing plates in celebration thing, but it got too expensive, plus the glass shards everywhere are a hazard, so they don't do it anymore. But Charles convinces Mr. Denner Nadine or sends in Mr. Denner Nadine to bribe the manager to let her and her party of five smash plates
for their 10th anniversary
and then the other thing that's happening is
Steve closes down early and invites his friend the Skin Tags in and like gives them all shots
like free shots and free saganaki okay, so that's basically the episode.
Also, stray observation, Brianna is the perfect piece of ass for the job because she's also half Greek.
That's right.
So she knows firsthand about the Greek traditions.
Yeah.
So she's perfect for this role.
Yeah. So I feel like unless you haven't, do you have stray observations about this or do you want to go straight to funniest moments or how do you want to do it? Did you even take notes in that way?
I didn't take notes in that way. Okay. I don't have, I mean, there were a lot of funny moments. Yeah, I do have some funniest just in my head.
Yeah, me too.
But they're not quotes necessarily. It's when the Skin Tags like first like come into the restaurant. Uh-huh. Or no, the singer, I guess.
Just the main guy with the main guy, pork pie hat on.
Yeah, with like the leather vest and the pork pie hat. Yeah. Travis gives him like a what's up, like head nod. And then Charles is like, no, he's up to something.
Yeah, I did take notes as if we were doing regular episodes. Okay. So I put Charles noticing something on the monitor. I put that as under the umbrella.
Okay.
Because it's always, at least once an episode, Charles is like,
hang on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see his little face, like.
Yeah, he does like a, yeah, like furrowed brow.
A head tilt.
Like, yeah, head tilt, and he calls the attention, like, and he always asks, like, questions like, now, do you know that guy? I love when Charles says something like, when it, like, an employee does something that's clearly not allowed. And then Charles is like, so now do you allow your employees
to? It's definitely like a leading question. And yeah,
his. All employees to put flyers for other restaurants in your.
His in your delivery of every line is just so like forced and awkward. Yeah, I already said like, that looks fantastic. And also, Nader keeps saying, Mamma Mia!
Nader is so funny. And I hate, again, I like with Matthew Perry doing the Desi Arnaz, the Ricky thing, I hate to make fun of someone's accent. Mm-hmm. But Nader says, I have a couple funny things that he says. So Charles sends him in. So Brianna's going to go undercover as a new hire.
Yeah.
So he sends. Charles sends Nader in with Brianna to introduce her to Steven, you know, and say, will you train her tonight? This is her first night. And then he comes back to the control room and Charles is like, how'd it go? And he says, I don't think that he suspected anything. But then at the end, before he's, again, I'm making fun of someone for English not being their first language, which is so mean, but it's so funny when he says, of the night, he says, watching what they've been doing, that's a stabbing on my back.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, okay, my favorite, another funny moment was when Steve closes down the restaurant and they're partying with the skin tags.
Oh no, you're gonna take one.
He pours them all shots of Ozu, and then they do like an opa, and it's, to the skin tags, to the night, yeah. Opa!
To the skin tags, to the night. my other one, this is another one that's not saying anything. Now, normally we make fun of Charles for being like obvious and wooden, but when Charles asked Brianna, because they have earpieces in, when Charles asked Brianna to grab one of the flyers,
oh, yeah.
And she's like, and he's like, Brianna, and you see Brianna go like a robot who just turned off, like,
yeah,
just to listen, like, yeah. just standing there behind like the pastry case, like just standing stock still and listening.
But then also when she gets the flyer, she delivers it to the control room. Hi, Charles. I got that flyer you asked me for. Thank you, Brianna. Like, it's just.
And, but then he's like, then Charles says, why don't you get back there before anyone notices you're gone? And she's like, good idea,
Charles. Good idea, Charles. I feel like this is all his, like, struggling sexual fantasy.
Oh, you think?
Okay. Yes.
I think it's just about his ego, you know?
I think also, like, the way he talks to them and the way they talk to him.
Yeah. But we've talked about the, like, whenever they pull the, you know, they drop the facade and, like, he always does the, like, she works for me. Like, I think he loves saying.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
loves saying she works for me.
Yeah. Nadine
so is a sexual.
Nadine thing. Is hot, too.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, I don't know. Oh yeah, we also talking about Charles' accent when he's talking to Nadine.
Yeah.
Steven is like hemming and hawing about doing the taking a bribe for the glasses or splashing the dishes, and Nadine offers him a 50, and Charles says,
give him.
He says, yeah. Tell him this means a lot to you and offer him $100.
Offer him $100.
Offer him.
I don't. Yeah. Again, with like the weird like. Fantasy of Charles, like when they didn't do it in this episode, but when he tells like bar patrons, like stroke his ego a little bit, or like flirt with him a little bit,
flirt with him,
and that's like real gross.
Yeah, yeah. What else did you have that you wanted to talk about in this episode?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, it wasn't one of the better Mystery Diners episodes. Because go like off the rails like some of the episodes do.
Well, I mean, some of the later ones, they really stopped.
Release the drones.
Yeah. I feel like even watching this, you'd have to be crazy to believe this was real, you know, or to believe they even were trying to make it real. But like in the later seasons, they really like went. The one I always point to is, do you remember, it was the rare one where it's not a restaurant, it was a restaurant supply house, right? That supplied restaurant equipment.
Yeah.
And the owner was so serious about security that he had facial recognition software so that only people who were on the list as his employees were able, if anyone went back there who wasn't one of his employees, he would get a notification, right?
Yes.
But it turns out one of his employees is running a cookie baking operation using his, like, ovens.
Yeah.
With his two identical brothers. Yes. He's got their identical triplets.
Yeah.
And that's how he's outsmarting the facial recognition software.
Yes.
I love that crazy stuff. But I also do get a kick out of the, like, trying to keep it on the rails and trying to kind of pretend that it's real thing. Yeah. You know?
And then in this episode, we get, it's always 4 months later, and somehow Charles knows that, like, Travis got a new job at another restaurant, and Brian no longer works for him, and what is the woman's name? She got hired as the manager or whatever.
She got promoted. We didn't even talk about the, like, the head waitress who, like, what turns up. There's always one employee who's, like, the model employee.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
The politics behind this show are so, like, anti-worker.
Yes.
So
it's always, like, we need to, like, fire some lowly busboy.
Yeah.
Who's, like,
a
trickster.
And the, like, underpaid underling who shows the most loyalty is the correct one.
Yes.
Like, so gross.
It's so gross. So we know it's fake, but, like, this is an actual restaurant, but we're saying that, like, all the staff are actors and the owner is an actor.
I think it's the real owner because they're,
you think that guy really, okay.
I think the real owners, as far as whether or not the staff are actors or not, I think it might be a case by case basis.
Yeah. They're bad actors.
But, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not actors, but they're just maybe extras hired to do an acting job, you know, like.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that's the talent pool in Tacoma, Washington. I don't know. No shade on Tacoma. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a nice place to visit.
Yeah. I mean, Nico Case had a whole song about
it.
But obviously, like, I mean, it's an ad for the restaurant, ultimately, because it opens with Nader, like,
showing how good the food
showing
is.
Off, like, his favorite dishes, you know, the... And that, I know you don't eat beef, but what's the mousse... The, like... It's like Greek lasagna.
Moussaka?
Moussaka, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That looked really good.
Yeah.
If I'm ever in Tacoma, I might actually look up my Greek and Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Is it still there?
Good question.
Moussaka is the dish. The eggplant.
Okay.
A potato-based dish. Often includes ground meat, but not necessarily.
Oh, so maybe they do a vegetarian.
But traditionally moussaka. Beef and eggplant. You used to not like eggplant, but now you do.
No, I've really turned a corner on eggplant.
Friends and Mothers, have you ever been to a restaurant featured in Mystery Diners?
Yeah, we have.
Because we have. Which one did we go to?
We've been to three.
Oh, we went to the one in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, so now we've been to four.
Okay.
Because it's the weird thing is that we've been to four, but none of them are in Los Angeles.
Okay.
We've been to the one in Sequoia, or the one in Three Rivers, which has a motel attached.
Yes, yes.
We've been to Marini Brasserie in New Orleans.
Yes.
And we've been to Shore Fire in Hawaii, but now I'm forgetting. There was one other that we had been to. Oh, we've been to Nacho Daddy in
Las Vegas,
which we now love. We'd heard of Nacho Daddy from Mystery Diners, and now we love Nacho Daddy, and it's go there almost so every good. Time we're in Vegas.
Yeah, and we've told the story on the pod about the fajitas.
I don't know if we have.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Okay, yeah, they like cook up the fajitas in front of you. It's a big show, but we were sitting at the bar, which is a square bar. We were sitting on the wall, the length of the bar that was closest to the wall, and so the guy couldn't get to us, so he had to, like, walk down the length of the bar, tap Natalie on the shoulder and say, "Watch," and then he went back 10 feet away and
to the little fire table, and so I'm like yay. Like, I didn't need that, like, no. just bring it to me.
Yeah,
I don't need a song and dance
with
my fajita.
All right. We don't normally do similarities, but I know you noticed a big similarity between this episode of Friends and this episode of Mystery Diners.
Just fire hazards.
Open flames, fire hazards.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I mentioned all the candles,
I was like,
oh. And I saw you write something down. I was like, well, I know what that is. All right, that's it. That's the episode. You can find this podcast. We already know how to find this podcast because you've already done it. But you can find a post for every episode at BattleshipRetention.com, which is where you can find my other podcast. But you can comment there. You can also email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. That's, if I had to be honest, that's probably my preferred way of corresponding with us. But people like to do it all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
You can also tweet me, find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. And you can either comment there, or if you're on Twitter, like Andy did on Twitter, DM me. Blue Sky doesn't have DMs, but Twitter has DMs. I feel like there was like maybe another way that you can reach us, but that's the main thing. That's where you can find me and us. Natalie, where can people check you down personally?
Well, they can't, as you know. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars.
Yeah, and do leave reviews. And yeah, so if you're just listening without having subscribed, yeah, please subscribe.
Yes, give us 5 stars. And if you don't think we deserve 5, let us know why. Let us know if you have a backup plan. Let us know if you've been to a mystery diner restaurant. Let us know if you watched this episode of Mystery Diners.
And also, we could have used this drunk hungover food from last week.
Yes, drunk hungover food.
Does Elizabeth live in an apartment or a dorm? Was from last week,
right?
Yeah, drunk hungover food. And what we had?
I didn't think it was a dorm. I thought it was campus housing. Right. Let's be clear.
Okay, I don't think. Drunk. I mean, what did drunk food last night? I ate a sausage.
Oh my God,
you in an impulse. Got us ice cream and baklava.
Yeah.
Which was delicious.
Yeah.
But not something we would normally do.
No.
And then hungover food, I just ate like a normal, like, I had some oatmeal this morning. Or overnight oats. I had the presence of mind last night to make my overnight oats.
Yeah. Well, you also had like a full meal and more wine when you got home. That's right. I came downstairs. I was like, what are you doing? Because
I still had some leftover chicken and quinoa in the fridge and I wanted to finish it off. So I heated it up and I also polished off I had been asleep for hours
and I was like, Blanc. What the hell is going on? Here
I watched Hot Ones with Shaq from like 2019 or something, 2020. Yeah, we were a mess last night.
That's it. Until next time, we'll be working with blind kids in Africa.